Oi, lads, did you miss out on the Jaren's Outpost Kickstarter and wish you weren't such a big doofus? Well, fear not. Late pledges are now open and they'll be open for a little while. So just head to Kickstarter, search for D&Ds for Nerds or Jaren's Outpost and slam that late pledge button.
I am told that the sea is a massive thing, that one could die just wondering its vastness. While we have no such thing in my homeland of Barovia, I am well aware of the feelings of isolation that a place without walls can conjure. For we are the prisoners of one Strahd von Zarovich. I will slay this vampire so that my people may once more breathe free in the sunshine.
You can see up ahead of you as the sun sets, there's a second light in the forest, a campfire up ahead of you.
Okay, I gesture, I guess. Do the others see it as well, just me?
You're the initially. First person to see it.
I just put my hand up.
Yeah.
And then, and again, in a lower voice. I get, how far away, actually, before I start whispering like an idiot?
Oh, you... It's far enough away because the sun is setting, the light level in the forest is currently low enough.
I just don't want to embarrass myself when I start whispering when I don't need to.
You have a conversation and not be heard.
Right.
But you might still want to whisper just in case.
Yeah. I just raise my hand and it'd be like, if everybody, just over there, I point, there's the campfire. I suppose this is where our target is. It is like the footprints that they're
getting. Yeah,
it is following.
Yeah.
I believe that is where they are currently camping out for the night.
Okay. So. Rahadin and Gretchen both nod. Rahadin looks at you, Hector, and says, how would you like to approach this situation?
I'm assuming you need information from him, yes? You need him to be this person to talk to us?
He is very plausibly a spy sent by Borcha here.
Right.
It would be foolish not to question him.
This is, these Franken guys... They,
These Franken guys. These Franken
these
guys.
Franken these guys. These Franken guys.
Do they need to sleep? Do they need to rest? Do they need to... They're made up of...
He doesn't... Rahadin shrugs.
I wish...
These creatures are not of Barovia.
Right,
and I do not know their strengths and weaknesses.
I wish Pip was here. I flick through the Emmanuel the Monster.
Mm-hmm.
Can I?
You haven't an Emmanuel the Monster?
No, I flicked through it
in
the past.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, yes.
Can I try to recall or remember anything that I read from the entry of Franken?
Read it out, Pip.
Franken
you rolled
monster?
Pretty well.
Okay.
Right. Hang on. I remember the Emmanuel the Monster that Pip had. So Gretchen, there is a famed monster hunter. His name is Emmanuel the Monster.
And, I was always a bigger fan of Chester A. Barbarian.
Well,
you don't know about Emmanuel the Monster, but you know Chester A. Barbarian is a very old author.
Mm.
Like, he would have been contemporary in Gretchen's day.
Do some say that he was sort of the inspiration for Emmanuel? Like, when Emmanuel started, were they like, he's the new Chester A. Barbarian?
I think there would be enough people in between that people might not have made direct comparisons. It'd be like comparing George Martin to
Sophocles?
Yeah, Sophocles.
Okay. I've got the entry.
Right, yes. A friend of mine, Pip Mandarin, famed monster hunter. He had a copy of Emmanuel the Monster and remember the entry of Frankenstein.
Yeah, get this. Monster, comma, Frankenstein's. The Frankenstein...
Does it start... Did I start it with get this?
No.
Should.
But I imagine...
You should say...
Get this.
Get this.
Check this shit out.
Cop this.
I just imagine every time Hector is remembering, it's because some night at the campfire,
right, yes.
Pip's like, check this fucking one out. Can you believe this shit? The Frankenstein's monster, commonly erroneously referred to as the flesh golem, is an amalgamation of bodies stuck together and given life to obey the orders of a master. Thy topic of the golem creature is not really a method of this book, let is in parentheses for some reason. But I will but I will explain unto thy some of the basics, as the Frankenstein monster is indeed a creature of the dark places. Once the crafting of flesh has been completed, thou mage will infuse life via the subjugation of an earth elemental spirit, with said spirit not retaining any mindeth and being only a vector for controlling of the corpse. While the master is before the golem, it will seem capable enough with orders supplied, but while the master is away, the golem will be forced to make the best of its abilities of mind, being none, and can become easily confused. Do not be mistaking this confusion for weakness of counsel, though. Unless thy are the special individual controlling the golem, it will simply ignore the words thy command. If the Frankenstein's monster finds thyself without a master, or if a hunter of skill does sufficient damages upon thou monster, upon it thou monster may find that it has entered a state of purifiagression. Don't know what that is. Where it will begin to act chaotic violently.
Is it like, again, around the campfire? Mm. Could that perhaps mean like if with enough damage it enters like some kind of like rage?
I suppose. And then chaotic violently is just,
it goes into some sort of like, you know how Gorob and Orlashan, I forget which one is which.
I don't know which one is which either.
You know when they get all frothy at the mouth?
Care to find out. Yeah. Yes.
At least it stops them, you know, doing a bit of
some
the
kind
yap,
of
yap,
rage,
yapping.
I guess it enters.
Yeah. Right.
If this occurs, then it is best to stand away. The monster is immune to cold, radiant, lightning, poison, and magical attacks. Though curiously, magical attacks and lightning seem to commit the opposite to the intended effect, as the monster's elemental spark drinks up the energies and to vitalize the monster. Thy savvy hunter shouldeth also be aware that thou Frankenstein's monster shalleth be known to being immuno-alterable, and as sucheth, turning thou into a rabbit for later dealings will be impossible. So you can't cast, you know, like
polymorph or anything on it. You can't change its form because I guess there's too many guys.
There's
in it,
too
right?
much shit happening inside.
But it's immune to magical items.
It is resistant to damages made by non-adamantine weapons, necrotic damages, and magical effects. Best practices to deal with the Frankenstein's monster are outlined thus, and there's four of these.
Yeah.
It must be controlled by an amulet or rod or stave or other objects. The acquisition of that, that's not happening.
Yeah, so
fire will make it hesitant to attack.
That's useful.
While the Frankenstein's monster will not listen to thy words, it can still hear thy savvy hunter. And if thou is able to confuse the creature with an incorrect truth, then it shall become stunned.
An incorrect truth.
I guess a lie is probably what Emmanuel's.
So like, the sky is red.
Yeah, maybe. The monster is unable to naturally strike at range. And then there's a question mark at the end of that. I assume they mean because it's...
Doesn't have a bow and arrow.
Pick up one. Yeah. Emmanuel.
Fire
seems
and
unclear.
Confusion, you know.
Yeah, fire and lie to it. Burn it and lie to it.
Okay, well, is that helpful?
Luck.
Who knows? Anyway, I kind of, condense all that into as much as to Gretchen and... Rahadin. So really,
burn it or lie to it. That's all you say.
Right. Yes. Burn it or lie to it. Cold and radiant and magical is not great. In fact, it actually heal it because it was radiant or there was a thunder.
Lightning and
magic. Yeah. Will actually heal. It's being possessed, I guess, by the a spirit of an, like an earth elemental, but. That's like, yes, this is control. I guess this is if you know, what we've come across. I mean, if it's a realm of that, maybe there's a slight difference. Because again, it's kind of saying it's like a mindless creature. And if it's a mindless creature, that just wouldn't make the best spy, I suppose. Mm,
true.
So maybe I guess you've got to take Emmanuel de Mons with a grain of salt.
You always do.
Always do. Always do. So yes, does anyone have any, I guess, fire?
None of you. You're the only one with magic, right? Well, Rahadin might.
Question.
Is Rahadin a monk? Did I make that up?
Yes,
I did. It's an invention of my own. It's my own for my fanfic I'm writing about this game.
That's nice.
Rahadin super monk.
Rahadin does not have fire. Yeah, neither does Gretchen.
Gretchen
maybe has like a torch that she can light, but that's it. Rahadin doesn't even have that.
Yeah, right. I've got like a few things up my sleeve, but not many. How do we subdue this? Do I know? So, like, you know, with a magic weapon, if we attack it, it's like, what does that mean when they're immune to it? Slash, they are will heal them. So it's kind
you
of
you know
like,
what you just heard from Emmanuel.
Oh, Emmanuel, you suck. So I guess the best thing is to okay, what we have really that we can tie it up.
Yeah, that's probably the best move. Physically overpower it, tie it up. Right. Figure out the rest later on.
I guess force damage made do something. I guess head there till we're close in range. Rahadin, correct me if I'm wrong, but you seem like a sneaky fellow.
Rahadin gives you a wicked smile that implies that you are correct.
Perhaps head a little bit towards their camp, staying out of sight, see if they are sleeping, they need to sleep, or anything like that, and then come back, tell us what you see. We're assuming that there is one, but they might have met up with someone.
Rahadin, a la Homer Simpson in that one GIF, kind of disappears into the foliage behind you.
Yeah, I imagine we get I get to a certain point where then...
Yeah, for sure.
So it's not like, I'll be right back. And then he's embarrassed because he has to, like, trek, you know.
Like,
You're reaching up into, there's a kind of a mountainous region to the north of Barovia. Mm. And you've been steadily making your way into that. This entire hike, actually, you've been going kind of steadily higher and higher and higher. You're a bit puffed from that, to be honest. And you are currently at, if you can imagine, a horseshoe-shaped ridgeline. And you are at the lower end of that. One end of the horseshoe is lower than the other.
Yep.
You are at the lower end of the horseshoe, and that fire is at the higher end.
Okay.
So you're kind of, not halfway down, but you're a little bit over the crest, looking out across at the other end of that horseshoe, and you can see the fire through the trees there. Mm-hmm. Rahadin makes his way slowly, not that you can see, but he does make his way slowly along the edge of that ridge. And then he comes back to report to you.
Okay. How long would that have taken, I guess?
It would take him like an hour.
Okay. What is in that? It was a great thing. So what is the, what kind of, is monstrous creatures have you fought in your time in training or come across?
She shakes her head slowly. Mm. I have seen maybe wolves, she says. Most of my encounters, not that there have been many, have been with people.
Guys, really into the deep end here.
I am aware that around the Mellowbrook Marsh things become more hazardous, but that has not been where I have travelled very often.
Right, yes. So, you haven't... I guess... Is it mostly humans? Is there many... A gesture to Rahadin, like elves or...?
Many humans, some elves, a scattering of gnomes and halflings.
Yeah, start to like the gestures of like low to the ground, a little bit higher, like broad, like an orc kind of like...
yeah, horns like a tiefling.
You've met many of these guys?
No? She seems unfamiliar with orcs.
Oh, right, never know what an orc is.
She knows what they are, but she didn't know... When you first started describing them, she was like... What? Took her a sec to be like, orc. Yes, I have heard of them.
What does she think you are?
Yes, and I gestured myself. Like, you've met, is there many Aesmias from...
It's rare, but not unheard of.
Okay.
As a member of a divine order, of course I'd heard of you.
Okay, we seem to be...
Gulliver does not get many Aesmir.
Mm. Oh, really? Yes, there's a handful of us back in Candle. Like, generally, could count how many of us are on... One hand, again. A lot of tieflings. Don't know what that says about it. A good friend of mine has many theories. But anyway, you'll come across many strange things in this lens. I talk about the encounter with the angel, the fallen angel, and their creating of a Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes. This place is... But we actually, we met with an angel, to be honest. Deluded, I would say. Made crazy. Their connection to the divine. Lost, severed, warped, twisted. Clearly fallen, for lack of a better term. And then they wanted to please Strahd, gesturing up to the castle.
You say Strahd?
I've got to give, yeah, this bad, but yeah, the conversation.
I do get the, well, not the impression you have outright said, but I'm just checking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The discussion with Tarpos is really just like hit home to be like, well, yeah, yeah.
What's the point?
What is the point? We are literally, why hide everything? This is like, we are only surviving because he's choosing us to, like, not outright kill us. There is, I don't know. It's just like ants going up against, a human with a can of Mortain.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, you're not spraying it yet. You know I'm here.
The ants, yeah, exactly.
He thought that, getting his like a past lover or something, resurrecting them in the guise of them, and really defiled lots of corpses, made some sort of abomination, but it acted with again like the controlling the angel was in the control of it at all times.
Gretchen seems horrified by this description.
Yes, it was awful. And awful.
The bushes and trees nearby rustle a little bit and part.
Mm.
Pip, you see the second bear appear out of that foliage.
Oh, dear. Oh, God. Oh, come on.
The bear grabs you with a paw, Pip.
I'm dead.
Drags you along the ground and drags you along the ground far enough so that the roots wrap underneath your arms and start dragging you towards them.
Oh,
as they
no.
drag you further and further, they begin rolling and wrapping around your chest. Okay. Because the bear did that, you take 2 failed saving throws.
Oh.
Is that so, Adam?
Hmm.
Is that real? Is that...
Wow. Well, to keep going back to Game of Thrones, you're going to get blood raven.
They're going to put me in the tree.
I actually got to check because the bear might outright kill you.
Okay.
So the bear...
He was on zero.
He was on zero.
Yeah. So a hit against you is automatically a critical hit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if the bear... Because your hit points are so low... If the bear does more than...
It's just a fucking bear.
If the bear does... It's a critical hit, and if the bear does more than 39 hit points, you die.
Crazy to have a second character killed by bears. Pip and Sir Greatbirth. Going out the same way.
Is this for... Which ones are these for players? I forget.
Bears, man. They are a hazard.
They are dangerous. That is true. Mm. You know? You think it's going to be some ghoul or goblin? No. It's going to be bear. Mother Nature's...
Evil controlled by druid bear.
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly what happened to Greatbirth. That's canon.
Yeah, that's canon. That's true. It was an evil bear controlled by a druid that had a grudge. Mm. Okay? A grudge against Sir Greatbirth, the world's greatest adventurer.
All right, so, Pip, let me give
it's
you
a
two
pretty
different...
important choice.
Yeah. Yeah, all right. Slashed ankles or sliced tendon, which would you prefer?
They're pretty similar.
Do you want me to... Let's get rid of sliced tendon. Let's do a different one.
Do a different one.
Weakening slash, do you like that one?
What weakening slash makes me think is that I'm going to lose more total hit points. So let's go the tendon one.
The tendy one?
Yeah, let's go tendy. Let's go chicken tendies.
All right. No, it's slashed ankles or weakened.
Well, let's go slashed ankles then.
Triple damage and you are knocked prone.
Fuck, dude. Triple damage?
What would have been?
What was the other one?
What would have been?
The other
weakened?
One, you deal half damage on your melee attacks for the next 1d8 rounds.
Fuck!
Oh.
Okay, triple damage. So, a d8 plus 3... Which means that triple damage times 3, so 13. Okay. All right. I think you're fine, because even if I roll maximum damage... Okay, yeah, you're lucky. Even if I roll maximum damage, it would be 30, like 6, I think. Would it? Yeah, it'd be 36 is the maximum I could plausibly get. So you're fine.
Jesus Christ,
it
man.
Won't outright kill you.
Jesus Christ. Pip is going through the fucking ringer, dude.
But you take 2 failed saving throws, and then because it's your turn, you need to make a death saving throw.
Okay.
And if you get 10 or less, you die.
Give it here, dude. Give it fucking here. 15.
All right.
Oh, that's God, dude.
One success.
How has this happened, like, every combat that I've had? Fuck, dude. One saving throw. Every single combat.
You need to heal, bro.
Yeah. I need to heal my... But here's the trick, Jozamit. I need to heal my fucking total hit points.
Yeah.
And I can't do that maybe ever again.
No.
Not until I leave Barovia.
Well, you just need one long rest. If you can survive for a long rest.
That's true.
But does the long rest bring me all the way back up?
Yeah, long rest does.
Yeah, one long rest should, yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah.
But like maximum hit points?
I try because you got those exhausts.
Because I got fucking drained by Kulova.
Yeah, one long rest. That's all you need. Yeah. Oh, it's fucked up.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I know. One long rest and then your maximum hit points return to normal.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, I'd love that.
Yeah.
Because I've been really struggling.
I've noticed.
Yeah.
Pip, forgive me. But I just remembered as well that you actually should be taking a grievous injury from this.
Oh, of course, Adam.
You've hit a beautiful... Because your max HP... The amount of damage required for a grievous injury is based on your maximum HP. Mm-hmm. But the damage that enemies can do to you is based on your level.
Mm.
And your level would normally give you a higher HP.
Yes.
But you don't have that
I'm
right
now. I'm in the Goldilocks zone of... And constantly getting grievous injuries.
I would call it the Goldilocks zone.
Me too.
You sustain a dangerous injury.
Dangerous, okay. You say?
The bear jaws your wrist. The bear...
Ow.
When it grabbed you around the wrist, and then it kind of just started fucking shaking you, dude.
Yeah, it makes sense. Like, it's a good place for him to be dragged by.
You have disadvantage on any attack roll or ability check.
Mm-hmm.
Requiring the use of two hands until you finish a short rest.
That's all right.
Not too bad.
You Crossbows, may forgo the disadvantage for a turn by taking 1d6 damage. This damage increases by a d6 for every consecutive round in which it is taken.
Okay. Interesting. I mean, there's nothing I can do about it now because I am unconscious and dying, but...
That's nice.
That's okay. Interesting.
It's nice to know that you get to wake up to a mangled wrist.
Yeah.
Because the bear keeps dragging you. That's another
fail. That's and another grievous injury if I survive.
You know what I love?
Well, you're on two.
That's dead.
Yeah. your corpse is mauled by a bear. Yeah.
You know what I'm really excited by, Pip?
Yep. Yeah.
So that, you don't... A short rest is actually so doable for you because it is only overnight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have that time.
No.
No.
Nope.
I'm so excited.
All right. Here's hoping you get healed.
Yeah,
exactly. We should be conscious.
Aina's going to try and get to you. Okay. Here's the problem. She has to take an attack from one of the bears to get to you.
Uh-huh.
If the bear hits her, it knocks her prone.
She's quick, right? She's like a quick bard.
AC 15. The bear gets a +5. It needs to roll a 10.
That seems God. Really
Do you
want to
roll
easy.
For the bear? You still got the die.
Yeah, okay. It needs to roll a 10, you say? It rolled an 8. Right. So,
the bear
what do you think
misses.
About them apples?
The bear misses. The bear swipes at Iona, and she ducks underneath, slides in the mud, like a slip and slide slides in the mud. Slip and slide, that's a reference that non-Australians will get. Right?
Yeah, dude, I don't think it's Australian. I think a slip and slide's the American name for it.
Mm. Oh, what do we call them?
Slippy dippy.
That's not true. No, we don't.
Jack, your mind's firing so much quicker than mine, because I was like, what can we call it, stupidy? Yeah, the slippy dippy.
The slippy dippy.
Yeah.
That was the most you joke I've ever done back at you.
You say this, but there's been an argument all day today.
That's a you joke.
It's not.
Did it? What the fuck, dude?
That's an Adam joke.
The most Adam joke in the world.
Hey. Don't say I'm fucked in the head.
The most Adam joke in the world is to tell a lie.
Shut up. Don't fucking say that.
It's funny. It used to be that, you know, only say like plumbing the serum baseless speculation or argument podcasts, but it's bleeding into everything else.
Everything was becoming shut up a second. Yeah. Now everything's becoming fucking...
Just an argument.
Just a yell at one another.
All right. Iona gets to you. Mm-hmm. She places her hands on your chest. And you hear her singing a song in a language you don't understand.
Yeah.
But the tune, you don't... Actually, you know what? Fuck. She says it in a language you don't understand.
Yeah.
But you know the fucking words. She sings, Pip, a lullaby. Okay. The lullaby You, it's like she's unlocked a fucking memory. I was about to say in the reptilian part of your brain.
It's all reptilian.
She, in the sub-reptilian part of your brain, a memory is unlocked. Pip, she sings a song that you like have just a brief flashback of. Everything is like soft and calm and pleasant. And you are being held by a familiar creature. An entity that you could only assume is your mother.
This is crazy because this is the second time she's done this. I have to ask her what that lullaby is at some point. She keeps doing this to me.
You are being held. You are less than, I want to say you're less than three. You're maybe like 2 years old. No, you would be younger than that even.
You
would probably be basically an infant.
Yeah.
You are being held by your mother, and it was the last time you felt safe. You regained 22 hit points.
Whoa, that's pretty good. I wake up in full panic attack mode, Adam. Yeah.
That was more hit points than you began this combat with.
Yeah, I know.
All right, and that was Iona's turn.
When I wake up, I grab Iona by, like, the shirt, and I'm like, stop doing that. Pick a different song.
Doing what? What do you mean?
Just a different lullaby next time.
I didn't sing a lullaby, she says. I cast a spell. And then it is John Cavendish's turn.
Okay. And...
John looks at one of the bears, and leveling his weapon, he says... Well, that just ain't cricket, is it? Crack! He fires at one of the bears. They're pretty tough. It's going to take two shots to bring a bear down for him. Across two shots, he brings one of the bears down. Then he drops his rifle, draws his cavalry cutlass. Cavalry saber, sorry. He draws his cavalry... People are going to get real mad if I'm saying it right. He draws his cavalry saber and then launches at the other one. He has more attacks left, so he's going to use them.
Yeah, dude, use them up.
And, shit, does he just do this?
Knowing Cavendish, probably, dude.
No, I don't think he can, actually.
Beans.
The second bear cries out in pain, but does not go down, as Cavendish slash, a big X for Excavendish on its chest.
Wordplay.
Alright.
To me, my ex-Cavendish.
He could have said X marks the spot. That could have worked too.
That is not wordplay. And then it is the engineer's turn.
Mm-hmm.
The engineer walks over to the bear and the giant mechanical arm boom! Donk awesome. On its fucking head. Yeah. Donk. The bear's head crunch snaps. The bear's nose touches its belly button, but no other part of the bear moves.
No.
Entirely through pivoting neck, the bear's nose touches its belly button.
Jesus Christ.
The bear crumples forwards dead. Sorry, Joel.
That just feels just too brutal. This guy is just too brutal for these just like woodland critters and animals.
These beautiful bears alone.
These bears did nothing to you. Oh, they mauled you.
They mauled me nearly to death.
An aspect that I probably should mention that is in my head, lore-wise, is that the engineer, after every fight, goes around in the mech suit and just crushes the neck of any enemy just to make sure they're dead.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well,
okay. I mean, that's very similar to what Pip does with, you know, making
with zombies
sure
or
zombies
whatever. So, I get it. Yeah, I've got no truck with it, personally.
Yeah, that makes sense, you know. Yeah. To be sure.
To be sure, exactly.
To be sure.
Is that both bears dead?
That's both bears dead.
I don't, like, relax, though. Cause
you're not out of initiative. Well, you're being grappled, buddy.
Yes. And also, just because it was deer's bear. What's next? Elephants?
A Barovian elephant.
Yeah, dude. Could be with fangs in its trunk. I don't know. Okay. I should not have given you that idea.
Like it's like the little
That's
trunk is
cool,
like a though. like a lamprey.
Like it's got a little lamprey mouth. Yeah, and it sucks on and drinks blood through its trunk.
Yeah,
dude, cool. I've been saying for years.
Yeah, I Turn the elephant into a beautiful vampire. I don't know
thought
why
it was sentient.
I've never seen an elephant
I thought
before.
It was, you know, there's the elephant know. People. I forget like what they're called.
They're glomps or some shit. Yeah.
I thought it was a glomp, but
someone improperly described what a tabaxi is to me, and I've just been turning cats.
But a whole herd of vampire cats. They are aloof.
Yes, good. Forgive me. Forgive me.
Fuck.
Okay, I would like to. Well, so, is it my turn?
Shit. Yeah. Yeah, it's your turn.
Okay. I would like to, with one of my tree bane arrows, I'd like to, because my wrist is fucked and I don't want to sacrifice the hit points, can I just, with my non-fucked wrist, use it like a dagger to stab into the plant that's...
Lose one of your arrows, and I'll say you don't even need to roll. You just touch the root base with the arrow, and the roots immediately let go of you and retreat back.
So are they coming from, like, the center mass?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So that center mass is something.
Okay, all right.
I'm guessing
the center mass is A, the trig blight, B, also where probably the coffin is, right?
Yeah.
Surely.
I would imagine.
Surely that's the safest place to have a coffin.
Yeah.
What do you do now, Pip?
Okay, we need to get to the center of this. I gesture to the sort of mass of trees in the middle. But obviously he's not going to want us to do that, but I got 9 plant bane arrows that can buy us some time to at least get in the middle. I'd like to distribute the plant bane arrows to everybody.
Okay. You have you, Cavendish, Iona, the engineer. Is that it? So I'm not forgetting anyone?
Yeah, I think that's it.
Yep. All right. So there's 4 of you, 9 arrows. Mm-hmm. How do you distribute them? Someone gets 3.
Yeah. I'll take 3 just in case I need to put them in my crossbow. Mm-hmm. I need to use them. But then, everyone else can. Yeah.
Okay. You continue to make your way further in.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, actually... Highs or lows?
Highs.
Highs?
Lows? You tell me how about.
You go highs.
Okay, highs then.
Highs? All right. You use up all of your plant bane arrows.
I figured we would. That's why
I
distributed
them. And I'm not there yet.
Yeah. Whatever, it bought us time.
And you begin the root system kind of, it's not like full on grappling you, but now before it was difficult terrain, you were being slowed down, but now the roots are grabbing your feet. You maybe at one point you see Iona, she has trouble bringing one of her legs up. And then with this tremendous, she leaves one of her boots behind and keeps going.
Okay.
And maybe it happens to you as well at one point, Pip.
Okay.
And the roots, any root network anywhere near you is trying to grab and hold your,
trying to crawl through a mass of writhing snakes? That's what I'm imagining. Like you move and the roots are sliding around your hands.
As you're moving, you can see the trees themselves start leaning in towards you to try and box you in.
Okay.
The trees here are all twisted, dead, gnarled things. Except as you're moving in forwards, you see one of them is still alive. It still has life on it. Leaves, and it looks... The dead ones are all kind of this dark, deep, blacky sort of brown.
Yeah.
This one, it's a lot lighter. It's almost... it almost appears like a willow tree's bark, like almost light brown.
Okay.
This still living one, as you're moving in, you can see it moves it moves against the breeze, actually.
Yeah.
It doesn't move with the wind, but in a different direction. And you can see it shakes one way a little bit and then heavily in a different direction, one way and then heavily in a different direction. If you are heading north, it is gesturing almost northeast.
I'm gonna say we take the tree's advice and we head northeast.
Okay.
I'm gonna follow the tree's direction. And I'm also gonna start I don't really know how I'd sense this, but I'm gonna try and start looking out for evidence that Tarpos is also doing something. Because in my head, if we were the distraction, she should probably be there by now.
Yeah.
So I'm just gonna keep that in mind as well. Yeah.
Okay.
We'll follow the tree's direction.
All right. You follow the tree's direction. As you're moving, the sun, by the way, is beginning to set. It's beginning to get very, very dark. You, Pip, leading the way. Do you have anything for a perception check?
brother. Would that I could.
Alas, no.
I truly don't, dude.
I love that, like, Tarpos. Very much. Don't trust the trees. And you're like, I'm going to trust the trees.
This seems like a good one.
One of the good ones.
Yeah.
Pip, you take a step and you realize nothing's there. What? You fall into the darkness.
Oh, oh dear.
Unbeknownst to you, you have been walking towards the edge of, it's not like a cliff, but it is a significant drop, a steep fall. Mm-hmm. You are hitting for once. Oh, it's not for once, sorry. For the first time since crossing that threshold, the roots are not trying to grab you. You kind of wish they were.
Fuck, dude. Does anyone else fall with me?
Well, I'm about to roll for that.
God damn it, dude. God damn it. Oh, no.
You are with the stupidest people imaginable. I get a bad boy card, and you can hear the rest of your group is falling like behind you.
Where I get to the edge, and I'm like, whoa, and then they bump into behind me. We all tumble off together.
One by one, you each fall off this ledge.
Whoa! Do we take damage?
Yeah. Do we take damage? Do we take damage, boss? Yeah, you take damage, you fucking idiot. All right, you fall, and so do all of your companions, Pip.
Is Pip leading?
Sorry?
Is Pip, like, leading the charge? Like, he's in the front.
Yeah,
well, he's in front, yeah.
So, like, if the others fall,
they
would fall on him, yeah? Sussing a question.
Why would you do that? Why would you do that to
me? Why would you do that?
Why would you do that to me?
This place has made you enemies. You take 19 points of damage, Pip.
Oh, come on.
24 or whatever. 24. God 22. You're on 3 hit points.
Okay.
Well, hey, it's better than 0.
Yeah, that's true. And now everyone lands on me and I'm gonna be that cruel.
Okay. No, that doesn't happen.
Thank you.
I wouldn't be that cruel. I'm thinking about it, but I wouldn't do it. Do you want a good boy card?
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah.
I'd love one.
Joel Zammett.
Yeah.
Not Tony, you, Jackson. Oh, I'll give you a good boy card if it happens.
Well, yeah.
Take a good boy card.
No, because how many people fall on him?
I'll say it's just the engineer.
Like
he's in a mech.
He's in a mech. Heavy. So heavy. Now,
do it for the good boy card, dude.
It's tempting.
The good boy card's gonna come in more handy. I'll probably survive this.
Maybe. Grab two randomly.
Okay.
Can he grab two randomly and read out the title? Is this okay? Can we do this?
What the titles?
Mean? I don't know if he does.
Okay. Give us the titles.
Polyglot.
Oh, yeah.
And whoa, how'd I do that?
One, I can learn a language.
Yes. Adam, I was mistaken. He does know what the cards do.
You don't know? You don't remember what whoa, how'd I do that works?
I do know how I could kind of, through context clues, like, I guess I succeed in a something.
No.
Maybe.
No, wrong.
All right. Whoa, how'd I do that? Or polyglot?
Oh, man. Learning a language is funny.
Learning a language is funny.
For you to basically once again enter death saving throws for just to learn a language.
Literally, I want to say for like the fourth time today.
Yeah. Well,
both are pretty good, I will say.
What?
That's in both good boy cards.
No, they're not.
Yeah, well, how'd I do that?
Polyglot might be useful in a different type of campaign. In Barovia, polyglot's pretty useless.
I think you'll find a way.
Okay.
God, I do want to learn a language.
Do it.
No, how I do that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Get got by an engineer.
You can cast one cantrip you don't know.
Ah. Firebolt.
Yeah.
How useful. All right, yeah. Pip, you with a you land kind of comedic comedy style, you land on your butt with two of your legs splayed out in front of you. You give a little like wobble forwards and backwards. And looking to your left, you see Cavendish like his legs up in the air, his chest down, face in the mud, slide along. You look to your right, you see Iona rolling down like on like as if she intentionally was rolling down the hill. Like in a line, she's kind of brought her legs and arms in and she's rolling slowly to a stop. And then you You think the sun is setting very quickly, and then you look up and you realize the sun is not setting very quickly.
Okay.
And the engineer lands on top of
it. Oh, God. Mech and all.
Now, this is... I'm not going to roll dice. It's at least 3 damage, so you're on 0. Okay. But it's definitely not 39
Yeah,
damage.
Okay. I'm not going to die. Yeah. For this. Thank goodness. But I am, once again, unconscious. For the 4th time today.
For old time's sake.
For old time's sake. Lights go out
for old Lang Syne.
For old Lang Syne, lights go out for Pip Mandarin. Should I roll death saving throws?
Not just yet. Pip, for you, everything becomes dark. And out of that darkness, Rahadin emerges, Hector. There is two of these. I forgive me. Did you call them Frankenstein's monsters?
I think I said Franken guys, but I think they are Gollum's comma Franken guy?
Something like that.
Yeah, so there's two of them.
There's two.
It
would appear a man and a woman.
Is one sleeping? Are they both awake?
They are both awake.
Great.
Sitting by a fire.
All right. That what?
He nods. Sitting by a fire, and it would appear preparing rabbit.
So they need to
or something eat. That looks like rabbit. He says.
Right. At least it can't be a guy.
Yeah. If it is, it's a very little guy.
Yeah. Like, a rabid guy.
They could be eating a fairy, maybe. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, some such.
Okay. So I guess Emmanuel de Monster was talking about, I guess, flesh golems. I guess this is something else. So fire that means nothing. Great. So I guess we know nothing. Can either of you see in the dark?
Rahadin can.
Sorry. Can either of you see in... darkness.
Like magical darkness?
Yes, like magical darkness.
They both shake their heads.
Okay, wait. Are they close? The horseshoe, you were saying, is it basically off a cliff?
No, it's not a cliff. It's steep, but it's not a cliff.
So we couldn't push them off a cliff and then be done with it?
You try. You don't know what it's like over there. You ask Rahadin.
Yeah.
And he thinks for a moment and he says, it would not be a guarantee, but it certainly would harm them. Okay,
well, so, I guess we just start drawing on, the ground, you know, the sticks, whatever. Like, there's these two. Try to come up with any sort of tactics.
Sorry, please go on.
I can cast. Initially, it was I was going to cast, thinking if they were afraid of the fire, I could cast magical darkness. Presumably, they cannot see in the dark. I can. To whittle away at them, while if they were to run out of the darkness, you would be there with a... gesture to the unlit torch, and then would be to try to push them back in, as it were. They don't seem to be afraid of fire. So, I mean, the tactic we could still try to push them back into so they cannot see, whereas you two can, and I can. Does it look like they would need to sleep? I mean, if they're eating, one would assume at least one of them could sleep.
I do not know.
If they're eating, one could make the assumption that they also need to sleep. And if they are not scared of fire, one can assume that everything that Emmanuel said, meaningless. So, I still would be wary of thunder damage or lightning damage. But everything else could be on the table. Magic, maybe. Hard to say. Go there. Wait a little bit. See if they can fall asleep. If one of them does, great. If they're not, oh well. Cast the magical darkness, I run in, and if they are trying to then escape it or flee, push them in. Hopefully one of them in the confusion runs off the edge. Fingers crossed. Otherwise we just whittle them down and see what happens.
Rahadin nods.
Which is a big risk.
Okay.
Is this worth it, Rahadin?
We need only one to question. And certainly, Rahadin looks at you and looks at Sir Gretchen. Neither of you are wearing armor right now. And Sir Gretchen is not a very experienced fighter.
No.
He looks at the two of you and says, we need only one to question. And I should say that two might be too much for us to handle. Rahadin looks at you, Hector. You get kind of like a, he also understands that Sir Gretchen is not a very, like, she's not incompetent or anything like that, but she's not a very, she's not a confident fighter.
Mm.
And Rahadin himself as well is not a very strong man. Mm. So you're really kind of like tempting fate by trying to take one of them alive.
Okay. Do they have anything else on them? Like a pack or anything of information of worth taking?
So. He shakes his head. Nothing but the rags which they are dressed in. Funeral garb, I assume, or what is left of it.
Could just talk to him.
I mean,
I feel like that's what the old actor would do.
Just is there anything hello? To do with diplomatic relations?
Rahedin shrugs and says, the spies and agents and assassins that Borka has sent in the past have not been forthcoming with diplomacy. But I defer to your judgment in this matter.
They don't know who I am. I don't really know who they are. Perhaps a conversation. And then if things go south, at least we have a somewhat of a plan.
Very well.
Okay. How wounded is Gretchen? I know I'm pretty badly
wounded. She's not very hurt. Like, she's bruised and a bit battered, but she's fine.
I'm going to lay of hands in myself.
Okay.
Or healing hands, just kind of.
How much?
I think just 10 hit points.
10? Yeah, going from 40 to 50?
Yeah.
Out of your maximum of 80?
44 to 54.
Thank you very much. 44, sorry. All right.
54. I need those 4 points. I don't want to get crushed by a Franken guy.
Yeah, yeah, you don't want to pop your head like a purple.
Okay. Speaking of crushed by a Franken guy.
Mm.
All right.
All right, so plan being is we'll go there. Rahadin, maybe you just stay hidden. Gretchen, I guess you can stay hidden as well, or you can come out with it. It doesn't really matter. Perhaps if things look like they are turning south, I can cast darkness and we can escape. We can try to get some licks onto them to try to waylaid them, but I think you are correct in the assessment there, where perhaps they do not know this. We do not. There's a lot of unknowns right now. And, the three of us against two of them. Perhaps we could be the upper hand, but why risk that? So.
And you're going to approach them from, if you approached them from a little bit, if you snuck up and a little bit over, like, so that you were higher than them, you would have kind of, if a fight broke out, you would have a tactical advantage. Mm-hmm. Is that the idea, that you're going to approach from a tactically advantageous position?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Hector, you make your way around, and Rahadin keeps his distance. You and Gretchen, well, you will need to make stealth checks just to be not seen until you get close enough to have a conversation. You don't do great.
Oh, no.
At one point, as you're making your way, you are not yet in that advantageous position. Mm-hmm. You are more like in line with them now.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than having a height advantage, should you want to shove, or a height advantage, even just for fighting, you would be on basically even footing with these entities. When that happens, as you're kind of creeping, you hear Gretchen hit something or bump against something behind you, and you hear her call out in surprise and shock. And then from ahead of you, there's immediately, you can't see very well. You're mostly making your way by the light of the fire.
Mm-hmm.
You can't see these two entities. You just see their little camp.
Mm-hmm.
Something obscures the flames for a second, and then you hear a voice call out, "Who's there? Show yourself!"
I just like, don't worry, it is fine. I start walking towards their camp, hands up, like, you know, as if to be like, I'm not holding any weapons. I'm not here to attack.
You step a bit closer,
mm-hmm.
and the chill night air of Barovia dies down a little bit with the warmth of the flames. Pip,
mm-hmm.
the fire's warmth calms you. Dragonborn of your ilk, at least, have natural resistances to fire, mm-hmm. immunities to fire. And you find yourself on cold winter nights like this in the monastery. You find it calming to, as you're doing your rounds sweeping, you find it calming to kind of move from fireplace to fireplace, staying as close to them as possible. Every time you approach one of the fireplaces, you hear that.
I get
some, like, just deep part of your mind hears it.
I stick by the fire then. I stick by the fire, I guess, as long as I will be allowed, you know? Like, I imagine I've timed it out to the point where it's like, this is the maximum amount of time I can spend by this fire before I get in trouble for inactivity and laziness.
Pip, you hear a voice. You, from the humming stops, and that familiar voice says something in a language you don't understand. You don't understand it, not because it's just like some foreign language. You don't understand it because at the time,
I don't understand any language. Yeah, sure.
You, something is soothing about these words. And the last part of it, that last snippet of whatever's being said, is something, it's not just words, it's a name. It's your name. It's your real birth name. You recover 29 hit points and you're awake.
Is it Iona doing it again?
Yeah.
I push her away from me. It's obviously with some force, but also like not in a way where it's like an attack. Thank you, Iona. What are you doing when you do that? What?
It is as a song, but a spell as well. It is not I should think that it is not a song that you are familiar
well,
with.
Well, what's the song called?
Well, Iona
starts flipping through a book she pulls out. It's a like a book of children's tales or children's stories. She starts flipping through it to try and find the one. She says something. Of course, you know, Draconic. Mm-hmm. She says, so the way Draconic works is she says a few words. Each word is affected by the word before and after it, but no further.
Yeah.
So when you're considering a word, you must consider, or when you're reading or writing Dragonborn, you must consider how the words on either side of it affect or would modify that word. And words can mean completely different things, depending. The rough translation for the name of this in common from Draconic would be, I have passed by many eyes, but I only got lost in yours.
Yeah, you wouldn't know the origin of that song, would you?
No, I am. Forgive me. Trader gave me this book, she says. And she shows you the book of songs and children's tales. It's written in a myriad of different languages. It's not pulling from any one culture, but
it's just like a collection.
Kind of like, I was about to say Grimm's fairy tales, but that's actually really only European. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be like if someone had done that, but for the entire world, basically.
Okay. Does it have to be that song?
This is the one that I do when I perform healing magics.
And that song is connected to the magic of healing?
It's...
Or is it just like...
When...
I guess my...
You must... It's like finding a source to channel the magic through, she says. And I find that this is the easiest way to channel the magic. I could try a different one if that...
If you could...
Okay, she says. It might not change how it works, though.
As in it might...
Well, the magic is the magic. It is like if I just picked a different... If I cast through an orb, if I just pick up a different orb, it is still the same spell.
Just for me, as a favor, pick a different song next time. Maybe one day I'll tell you why. But just consider it a favor, and I'll owe you one.
Okay, I will do this.
How about
for
that?
You?
Now, we are in a pit. Like, look around. How's everyone doing?
Everyone's pretty badly hurt.
Yeah.
The engineer looks really, as fucked up as you are, the engineer looks honestly worse.
That's crazy. And landed on me.
Yeah, well, he had to bounce around a fucking metal box the entire way down. And also, he got hurt other times. Fucking insensitive little prick. Leave him alone.
So defensive, dude. You should marry the engineer if you love him so much.
I might. Iona's going to heal him as well.
Okay.
When she does that, she pauses for a sec. You see, she pauses for a sec, and then she quickly gets to the book, flips to a different page, and starts singing that. Oh, wow. You can immediately see the... fuck. He heals basically nothing. Jesus. Yeah, the engineer's not looking great. Mm-hmm. Cavendish is battered, but he's still standing. Iona herself is kind of fine. I mean, you can see some light bruising and a huge gash on her neck, but it's not like deep enough that it's bleeding heavily or anything. It's just a slow, steady bleed.
Yes, I think we took a wrong turn somewhere. I look back up the cliff.
You think, do you?
Yes, Cavendish. Yes. My bad. Maybe I shouldn't have been leading us, okay? That unfortunately hangs Cavendish, in the air a little bit longer than I wanted
no
to.
One, there's a brief moment of silence where noticeably no one disagrees.
Yeah. But I imagine, I mean, we're on a time limit, so if everyone's okay, we gotta... Yeah, the cliff, is it annoying to climb back up?
It might be impossible, honestly, in the dark.
Okay. We'll have to go round then. We'll have to navigate around and get back to where we were. Back to the. Do I think that we are effectively in the canyon?
You look around. It's too dark. You can't tell.
Oh, fuck, dude. Fuck. We're gonna have to circumnavigate it. I imagine. I mean, I might be wrong on this. I've been wrong before a million times. But maybe we're in the chasm, a more shallow part of the chasm. That we fell in and we dropped the spiders in and the bears in them. Maybe if we head around and we can try and find a place where the cliff's not so sheer, we can climb back up.
Iona and the engineer look from you to Cavendish. Cavendish stands up.
It's fine.
He pulls out a red stick. Mm-hmm. He cracks one end of it and with a psh, it bursts into light. Mm-hmm. And then Cavendish turns around and silently begins leading you.
Sure. Fine. Whatever. I'll follow after.